So, authority issues. We've been talking about God's authority on our lives and how we view that, how it can make an impact on us and viewing his authority. So week one, who remembers week one? I like interaction. All right. What was week one? No? Who's got it? Cal? Okay, yeah. So we talked about how God's authority exists to protect us, not to dominate us, not to, be a dictator over our lives, but because he wants to protect us. And then last week, we talked about how God's protection is because he loves us. So this week, really got one. Okay, my personal rebellion. Okay, so I spent a lot of time thinking about this, and I could not think of something. Now, don't get me wrong, I did a lot of stupid stuff that I got my butt kicked for, but I could not think of anything that I, was told don't do that, and I went and did it anyways. I even called my parents last night, and I was like, I cannot think of anything, because I was feeling pretty good about myself at that point, and I was like, all right, there's got to be something. So I called my parents, and neither one of them could think of anything either. And I was like, well, what am I supposed to talk about? I'm supposed to be teaching about this, and I can't even think of anything. And then I remembered God brought us Ashley. So our 11-year-old hates authority or our authority, would you agree? This child, she's afraid of Val, but I remember as a toddler, she may have been three, maybe not even three. We were sitting at the dinner table with Jeff's family, and she was eating an apple off one of their apple trees. And, being the parent, and I'm supposed to watch over her and protect her because I love her. I said, Ashley, you need to put the apple down and eat your dinner because you can't just have an apple for dinner. It's not good for you. So she ignores me and continues to keep eating the apple because that's what she wants to do. I said, Ashley, put the apple down. So the child puts the apple down, puts her hands behind her back, looks at us and bends over and starts eating the apple. This is what we battle. She is the queen negotiator. I've never seen anything like it. And this child will argue to argue. She could be agreeing with you, and she will argue with you. She's got to have the last word. And I'm thinking, this child needs to get this figured out, because if she does not learn to submit to authority, she's going to be hurting someday, either by her own actions or by us. So this week, we're looking at the power of submission and the authority over our lives. So we're going to look back at Jonah's story real quick, just to recap. So chapter 1, Jonah ran from God. As Mikkel filled us in already, he winds up in the belly of a freak fish. So chapter 2, we learned, finally, after 3 days of being in the fish's belly, Jonah finally gets his crap together, and God then causes the big fish to puke him up on the beach, and that's where we left him. So we're going to dive into chapter 3, if you guys got your Bible apps. We're going to read chapter 3 and see if Jonah finally follows through on what he promised God he would do. So, Jonah, chapter 3, 1 through 4, says, then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh, proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city, and it took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Okay, so let's set the setting here. Nineveh, the big city, I mean, we're talking, you know, way back even before Jesus, not a whole lot of people compared to today. It's a big city, about 500,000 people, so Jay tells me. So he walks into Nineveh. He smells like fish puke. He's probably not looking all GQ. And he starts telling people, you're doomed. In 40 days, God's going to kill you. Destruction's coming. You're going to be overthrown. And think about this. What would that look like to us today? Somebody start walking around Akron, smelling like that, looking like that. Actually, we've probably seen a few of them out there. How would you respond?
Like he murdered
me or something. Okay. He's crazy. He's out of his mind. Nettie?
If I was in my car, I'd lock my door and drive very fast. Get away.
Oh, away or over him? Away. Okay. Okay. So another thing we can look at, too, is you kind of think about, the Ninevites coming from their perspective. You know, they don't know God. They don't know that they're doing anything wrong. So why, you know, how fair is it that God's going to come in and kill them when, you know, they don't know any better? So, and sometimes, you know, we can kind of get that way when God's paths, or when God's truth and his word kind of crosses our feelings and our choices and the things that we want to do in life. And we kind of start to, you know, hey, I got this. I'm good. You know, I'm doing okay. Everything's going okay right now. And we don't want to give up that control that we have over our own lives when everything's going okay. You know, and you know what? I'll be honest. There's even been times in my life where, you know, everything's going good. And I'm like, yeah, God's got control of this. Yay, God. Praise him. You know, and then things go bad. And something happens, and I can't understand why, and I'm not getting the answers when I want them, or as fast as I want, or not getting the answer that I want, and so then I want to take control of it, instead of letting him work through it and work me through it. So, okay, Jonah believed in God. Ran away from him, ended up in the belly of a fish. We think we've got control of our lives. He tells us not to do something. We run away because that's not what we want to do. And what usually ends up happening there? We end up in trouble. So let's look at what Nineveh's response was to Jonah coming in and God proclaiming God's authority over them. Verse 5 says, the Ninevites believed God. They fasted. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Okay. What the what? So here's a city that was so opposed to God, and yet at the simplest message, they believed. They believed who God was. They believed in what Jonah was saying, and they fasted, they repented of their sins. They turned from themselves, from their own desires, and they looked to God. And they begged him to save their lives and promised to follow him. And it gets better. It says, when Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued to Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered in sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. So here you have the king of this massive city who answers to no one. And what does he do? He takes off his royalty, takes off everything. He puts on a nasty, itchy sackcloth and sits down in the dust. He repents. He turns to God, and he orders his whole country to do the same. He calls for them to fast and pray and call upon God for mercy. He teaches us a valuable lesson. He teaches us something that we don't like to do. He teaches us to submit. So what is submission? According to Jonah, you know, if we looked at what Jonah may have thought of submission, he kind of had the whole, you know, domination, giving up, last resort. I don't want to do this. You know, is that how you see submission? That finally, you finally got to give up. When you can't defeat the authority over you, you finally give up. And then maybe use that as, you know, to save face or to, you know, kind of use it as a negotiating tool, you know, to get something back for finally giving in to the authority that's over you, trying to soften the blow a little bit. The Ninevites, they give us some things to learn about submission. So we're going to look at those. One, I don't have a swabby thing. My submission reveals that I have a clear view of God. So the Ninevites didn't know God, and yet at the mention of him, they immediately turned around and they repented, and they hoped that God would have mercy on them and not destroy them. When we submit to God's authority, we're proclaiming that God is who he truly is, that he is the authority over our life. And we organize our life, we prioritize our lives according to his will for us and what he wants for us, for our protection. Which also leads to the second thing. My submission reveals that I have a clear view of me. So these people have never submitted, and yet they don't know anything of God. And yet they immediately repent, and they showed us that submitting was not beneath them. And also that a clear lesson that they are beneath God, and they begged him for mercy. Even the king, who even humbled himself before God and threw dust on his head. So ask yourself, when your life is in opposition to God's authority, how do you respond? Do you put on the robe and throne, or do you put on the sackcloth and dust? Do you choose selfishness in your way, or do you choose submission and God's way, knowing that he knows what's best? Okay. So Jonah finally submitted. God got him out of the fish. Now Nineveh willingly submitted to God. So let's look at what God's response is now to Nineveh. What did he do for Nineveh? Because remember, he was going to destroy them. Verse 10 says, when God saw what they had did, and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction that he had threatened. So that was pretty cool, because he didn't promise to not, even if they did repent. They repented solely in hoping that he would have mercy on them and that he would relent from his anger. So why do you think that? Why do you think God responded that way? Any thoughts? Y'all just staring at me. Let's talk. Exactly. He doesn't, you know, why would he waste God's time? If he wanted to destroy Nineveh, why would he bother sending Jonah to them? Why would he bother giving them a warning? Why would he waste Jonah's time? Why would he put Jonah through all of that? It's because of what we've learned several times. We've been learning it through the whole series. God's authority is not based on domination, but on protection, because he loves us. In your life, there's going to be times where what you want to do and the choices you make and the choices you want to make and the feelings that you have, they're not going to line up with God's desire or will for your life. And you're going to have to fight that temptation. You're going to have to fight that pull to want to do your own thing. And chances are most of you have already been in that situation. And you've probably already made some decisions and you've felt the pain and the regret from the choice to rebel against God, what God wanted you to do. The best way to recover from that, just like Jonah, just like the Ninevites, the best way to recover from that is to repent. It means turn away. Put your eyes back on God. Put your eyes back on Jesus. Ask him for forgiveness. And willingly submit to his authority. And live your life based on the protection that he gives you. Under the protection that he gives you. There's a way to avoid going through that. Going through the cycle of sin and repent. Sin, regret, repent, and we do it over and over and over again. But we can break the cycle. And that brings us to our connection point for tonight. Daily submission to God is the key to living under God's authority, protection, and love. This is not something that is easy to do, but every day we have to make the choice to repent, or to repent, we have to make the choice to submit to God's authority. Ask him that day, what do you want me to do? What am I doing today? Guide my steps. Light my path. He gives us his word. He gives us prayer. He gives us others to give us godly wisdom. You know, what is Jay's favorite verse that he always uses? Walk with the wise, become wise, associate with fools, and get in trouble. He gives us wisdom. He gives us people in our lives to help us through this. It's not easy. And we have stubborn hearts, and we want to take control. But if we're willing to let him have that control, it'll save us a lot of hurt and a lot of destruction, and not ending up coming out all stinky like fish because we did something we shouldn't have. We got ourselves into a bad place. So, let's go ahead and bow for prayer. If you're here tonight and you don't have that relationship with God, and you want to know more about that, how you can build that relationship, how to be under his protection, and to learn about his love and what he wants for you, please come talk to us. That's us as leaders. That's why we're here. We want to explain that. We want to show you, we want to point you to Jesus and how he can help you and how he can guide you and help you from making those bad decisions. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for Gladiator Games and just the opportunity to serve down here and to be with these kids and just to in any way be able to help them. As life only gets more difficult, Lord, the more further and further that we push you away, it just gets harder. So thank you for the opportunity to help them. Lord, I pray that you would take tonight's message and just however they need to hear it, just speak to their hearts, Lord. If they could learn now at such an easy age, a younger age, Lord, to submit to your authority, to not see you as a dictator or somebody that's ready to just punish them for doing wrong, but instead because you want to save them and protect them from a lot of hurt that they're going to go through, Lord. It will save them so much. We love you and we thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the mercy that you do show, even when we do mess up, Lord. You never turn on us, but you're always there, ready to welcome us back. And we can't give you enough praise. In your name I pray. Amen.